good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. I'm going to open us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for each person that's here this morning. I'm thankful, Lord, that you are the true light of this world, that have come into this dark place to save us sinners. So we're thankful, Lord, that as we ramp up into the Christmas season now, and we see the decorations go up and the shopping centers are crowded, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would just help us to be a light, help us to be those Christians that stand out, Lord, and stand out for your message, Lord. So we just pray now, Lord, as we spend time learning about the things that we need to do in order to be that testimony, I just pray that you keep our focus and our attention on who you are and what you've done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we're continuing our series, Christmas To-Do List, and basically I'm dealing with things that we should be doing, not only at Christmas time, but really all year. But at Christmas time, this is like something that you start to really think about a little bit more, peace, goodwill towards other people. So today the topic we're going to deal with is being hospitable, okay? So hospitable, by definition, is friendly and welcoming to strangers and guests. And I know when I came up with this topic, I was like, okay, it's the week after Thanksgiving. And some of you are like, I really could have used this last week because I'm a complainer when I have people over and different things like that. But you have another chance, okay? Christmas is coming, right? So I want to start off today by asking you a few questions, okay? A few questions. Do you enjoy inviting people into your home for a meal? You don't have to answer out loud, okay? Do you have a knack for making people feel welcome, whether it is in your own home, at church, at work, or elsewhere? Do people feel comfortable stopping by your home unannounced? Are you able to anticipate the needs of guests and strangers? Do you joyfully provide for the needs of your guests? Now, if the answer to these questions are mostly yes, you're probably a hospitable person. In fact, God may have gifted you that way. But do you know that all Christians should strive to be hospitable in life? It is something we're strongly urged to do in some passages, and in some cases, we're actually commanded to do. So later on in the book of Hebrews, we're going to get into this passage. It says this: do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Now, this is a reference to Abraham welcoming the three strangers into his home in Genesis 18, and they were actually angels. But today what I want to do is I want to look at four things that the scriptures teach us about being hospitable. And the first is this: attitude matters. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Someone once said this about hospitality: hospitality is making your guests feel at home even though you wish they were. Okay. So, whether we're forced into having people over by other family members or choose to have people over, our attitude really can make that a positive experience, or it can make it a negative experience. So if you have a negative attitude, you'll not only make it uncomfortable for the people that you are hosting, you're actually going to make your experience a little bit worse. If your attitude is negative, you'll be easily bothered. You'll take comments the wrong way. You're more likely to engage in arguments and say hurtful things. If your attitude is negative, you're going to make people feel discouraged and uncomfortable. But when you have a positive attitude, the people we're hosting obviously feel comfortable. We open ourselves up to having meaningful conversations, and we have a good time. Now, in general, your positive attitude will result in a better experience for you ultimately, right? It will result in a better experience for you ultimately, and you're going to be obedient to what this passage actually teaches us. Show hospitality without grumbling.
So if you have a grumbling attitude, how can you change that? Because some of you, you know, you might just think like, okay, like, you know, there's so many things. My mind's going everywhere. I'm trying to like host people. I'm trying to do things for other people, but I have a real hard time with my attitude. This one wants this. This one complains. This one doesn't say thank you. So how do we deal with that? The first way that we deal with it is the should be your first line of offense, and that is this. You need to ask Jesus for help. Okay, so just imagine yourself, you already did it on Thanksgiving, but maybe ramping up into Christmas, you're getting ready to have a bunch of people over. Family members, people that, you know, have been in your life for your whole life. The first thing you need to do is you need to ask Jesus for help. We know the power of prayer, and God works through our prayers. God gives you the opportunities and the resources to welcome people in, so he's also going to give you the right attitude while they're there, okay? He's given you these resources, so you, obviously, if you're welcoming people in your home, you have the resources, you have the home, you have the abilities to do this. So what you need to do is ask Jesus, help my attitude. Help me to not get bothered by some of the things that they're saying. Help me not to get bothered by the comments that they might make. Help me not to be bothered by what they should or shouldn't be doing. The second thing is think about how you would like to be treated. Now, this is basic, right, for Christians. Okay, we teach this to our children, right? How would you want to be treated? How do you feel when people are welcoming to you? You love to go to their house, right? They're welcoming. They're glad to see you. They're happy that you're there celebrating with them. We love to go to their house. We feel accepted. We feel loved. We feel comfortable. We should want to make others feel the way that we want to feel. Eleanor Roosevelt said it this way, "True hospitality consists of giving the best of yourself to your guests." Giving the best of yourself to your guests. The next way we can show hospitality without grumbling or having this right attitude is start small. You know what? Many times when we think about hospitality, we go right to what I've been talking about, welcoming people into our home. But for some of you, that's way too far out of your comfort zone. You're not the host family. You like to go other places, but bringing people into your home, it's just way too much. So you could start small. You could start small today by simply being a welcoming person to people that just come out to our church. Because hospitality isn't just hosting Thanksgiving or hosting Christmas. It's that warm, welcoming type of person. So you can just be welcoming to people that come through the doors. Maybe invite them to attend a Bible study or a ministry that you attend. Maybe just saying hello and engaging in conversation. Do you realize that we have visitors here every single week? And, you know, I wish I could remember people's names, find out people's names, and know everybody, but really, hospitality on the ground is all of you. Because somebody might walk into this fellowship today, and maybe nobody has been kind, warm, and welcoming to them all week. Maybe they live by themselves. And they come in here and they're looking for some human interaction. And could you just imagine if you're the warm, welcoming person that goes up to them, shakes their hand, and says, "Hey, welcome. We're glad you're here." Or, "Oh, I've noticed you've been here a lot. Do you ever attend any Bible studies? I go to one Bible study and I'd like you to join me and come to that Bible study with me." That's a small step. Maybe you're thinking, you know what, why should I be hospitable to others? Well, the passage says, show hospitality without grumbling. And I know myself, if I'm hospitable, I'm going to complain. So let's just stay away from this whole thing, right? I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to complain. But this brings us to our second point. And being hospitable actually offers us an opportunity to serve the Lord. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick and in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Now, the context of this passage is believers actually being rewarded at judgment for the good deeds that we do on this earth. Okay, that's the context. And I want to clarify the gospel. The gospel message is that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave to prove that he's God. And the scriptures are very clear when it says that all who believe will have eternal life. So it's never been, or it never will be, by any good works that we gain entrance into heaven. But the truth of the matter is we're rewarded for our good works. And Ephesians 2:10 tells us we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So if you're asking your question, oh, you know, this hospitality thing, that's for somebody else, I'm not that person. No. We're actually rewarded for those things, and we're created to do those things. So now Jesus is telling us the way that we do good and serve him is interacting with people around us. Treat people in need as an opportunity to serve Jesus. Look at them as if you're doing this to him and for him. And the reason why Jesus said, so look at it like that, it's because that's what you're doing. You're doing it to him and for him. Now, this is a great way to look at our service, because sometimes we're not inspired to help others because we don't feel great about them. Maybe they're annoying. Maybe they're complainers. Maybe they're unappreciative. Maybe they're lazy. Maybe we feel like they don't deserve it. That's a trap, right? Okay, because we look at people and we're like, I don't want to do that for them because they would never do that for me. Or I don't want to do that for them because they're unappreciative. I don't want to do that for them because they're lazy. I don't want to do good to them because they've not done good to me. Now, whatever our reason is, we have to remind ourselves, I'm doing this to serve Jesus. And if this were Jesus in front of me, how would I help him? If this were Jesus right in front of me, what would I do? Now, this will have a twofold impact. And the first is we're rewarded for serving, like we just learned. But the second is it actually assists us in our Christian testimony, which is our third point. And that is this: representing the Lord is the goal. Now, this is a passage from Leviticus. It says, when a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now, this is an Old Testament passage, and the context is that God always desired his people to represent him properly. Okay, so when you read the Old Testament, God always desired the people to represent him properly. The way they were called to do that is the same way that we are called to do that. And that is love other people. Now, could you imagine a world where people just generally loved one another? I mean, could you imagine that? Could you even imagine a church where people generally loved one another? We can say all day long that we love other people. We can say it all day long, but our actions have the power to show love to them. Being hospitable is a great way to do that. Now, as believers, we need to be welcoming to others. There are many ways to do that, and I want to give you a few ideas that you can practice this Christmas, but really all year long. First, when a non-believer is going through a difficult time, you can offer to pray for them. Ask them, how can you pray for them? Hey, I hear you're going through this time. I see what's going on. Let me just tell you this. even people that don't believe in prayer, even people that don't believe in God, will appreciate this. I think I probably shared this before, but I have a friend of mine who's very atheistic. He lives in California, and he was diagnosed with cancer some years ago. And he's doing fine now, but when he was diagnosed, we talked. And he is an atheist. Straight up told me he's an atheist. And I was like, listen, man, I was like, I'm gonna be praying for you. And he said this, I'll take all I can get, okay? I'll take all I can get. An atheist, he wasn't like, that's dumb, okay? He was like, here's my Christian friend telling me he's gonna pray for me. I'll take what I can get. So when you have a non-believer in your life, you might think, oh, they don't wanna hear anything about the word. They don't wanna hear anything about prayer. But you never know, okay? God could have placed that person, and I think he did, in your life so that you can actually be welcoming to them in their time of need. You can do random acts of kindness. Neighbors, coworkers, friends. So many of us get caught up in worrying about like the things that we need to do in our own lives. You know, the hustle and bustle of this time of year is all the things, the Christmas to-do list, all the things that I need to do. But a lot of times we forget about just stopping and being kind to other people. Random acts of kindness, a good place to do that, neighbors, coworkers, friends, people that would least expect it. Another tip you can do is this. You can invite someone out to Christmas Eve. You know, we have Christmas Eve services here. One of the things we strive to do here at the church is make sure that when you invite people, they hear the gospel message. No matter what week it is, I mean, but Christmas Eve is always one of those times where, you know, the unbelieving will say, you know, maybe I should go, okay? And we don't say, yeah, you should. We say, you're welcome. You're welcome to come. You're welcome to come. Another tip, when you see someone you don't know at church, you can introduce yourself like I talked about before. We have visitors each week. Introduce yourself. Go up to somebody. Say hello to them. Hey, I didn't get your name. Sorry, I've said hi to you for the last 3 months and I still don't know your name, right? So, I mean, that happens. But here's the thing. What's your name? Hello, I'm glad to see you. Those things can go a long way. When you're out doing your Christmas shopping, you can be kind to other people, right? We live in New Jersey. It's kind of tough sometimes, right? When you go out, be kind to other people, kind to the workers, tip the workers, take care of the people that serve you all year, tip them. Customer service in New Jersey can be a very difficult job. You know what? Just by being a little nicer, okay, you can stand out among the crowd around here, right? Just actually taking the time to brighten up somebody's day, telling them they're doing a good job, because normally when people interact and talk to them, it's more abuse, right? It's, you did this wrong. Well, why not say, you did this right. Thank you. I appreciate what you've done. These are just little ways of being welcoming. Next is this. You could look welcoming. I'm talking about your face, right? Okay? Because some people, I mean, I have a lot of wrinkles here because I like to smile, okay? But you know what? When you see somebody who doesn't look welcoming, what do you think? I'll tell you what I think. I'm like, yeah, right? I don't want to be near that person, you know? When you just look welcoming, okay? How hard is it, okay? Let me ask you this. What does it cost you? What does it cost you to smile at somebody? You can be available for people in need. Many times we're in such a hurry, we're so busy. Why not carve out some time and just say, okay, you know what, today, this is my day to get XYZ done, but I'm just gonna carve out some time that, you know, I could just make for somebody else, give somebody a phone call, text message, encourage them, ask them if they need anything. You know, they're busy. Maybe I can help them in some way. Now, these are just a few ideas. Just a few ideas. I'm sure you guys probably have many more ideas. And if you do, great, share them with one another. The point is this: when you're interacting with people, your goal should be to represent Jesus the way that he would be pleased with. Now, others may ask at that point, you know, why is this person different? These are opportunities for us to step through, right? Our actions can speak so loudly, and then people start to wonder, why is this person different? You're a little bit different. And you've all been in situations like this, right? You meet somebody, and they're just kinder, nicer, and they have more joy, and you're like, I think this person might be a Christian. We have to get into a conversation now, because there's something different about them. And then, lo and behold, you find out that they are a Christian. Now, don't fall into the trap of thinking it's only about doing big things. And this is a problem, and this is like a social media problem. It's always doing the big things. Like, oh, you know, if I'm hospitable, I have to do the big things. If I'm welcoming, or if I'm that type of person, I have to do all the big things. The small things can make such a huge difference. And guess what? The small things, they kind of add up and set a course to doing things that are bigger. But maybe God has just called you to continue to do the small things. Remember, Jesus said this: you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You know, it's easy to remember this verse this time of year, because drive down almost any street in our town and you'll see at least one house with some lights on it. So when you see those lights, just remember, you know what? Jesus told me I'm supposed to be a light. I'm supposed to do good, not to bring glory to myself, not so people see me, but so they see him. That's what my goal is. So this Christmas, you know, you're looking and you see those lights. Just remember, Jesus is the light, but he's also given me that light to shine for other people. I can guarantee God will give you plenty of opportunities if you're willing to step into them. Guaranteed. I know that in my life, and probably in your life as well, we've missed so many opportunities because we're not looking for them. We're not stepping into them. We're not saying, how can God use me here? We're just thinking about what we need to do in our lives and everything that's associated with that. Now, finally, the way that we can be hospitable is to take care of fellow believers. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. We have one another. Isn't that amazing? Our church family. A benefit of being in a church family is that you have people around you to look out for you and you could look out for. You have people around you that look out for you and you could look out for. There are many ways you could be hospitable to fellow believers, and we're blessed with this church building to help you do that. Do you realize, like, I don't know if you know this, many of you probably don't. Like, we don't, besides God, we don't answer to anyone else. So there's not like this overarching like Baptist council that's giving us money to build this, okay? So this church is funded and built by all the generous donations of the people who come to this church, right? And we look at this church building as a resource for all of you. Okay, not only to come to, but also to use in that way. So maybe you're not the type of person that likes to open up your home, or you can't. Maybe you don't have a home to open up, right? Maybe you're a guest in your house because you're living with your parents or whatever, so you don't have the ability to open up your home. Maybe you don't have resources to help. This is where the church building and our fellow believers actually come in. We have ministries here that you can get involved in, and you can welcome others too. We have Bible studies here that you can get involved in and invite others too. So you can be a welcoming person, even if you're not like the open up my house type of person. You know, when you hear, sometimes people hear, like, you were like, oh yeah, you know, these missionaries came in and, you know, We let them stay at our house. Actually, my wife and I did that years and years and years ago. We were first married. We had John Moxon from Ireland come, and he stayed in our house, him and his wife. It was a weird experience to have a guest that you barely know in your home. So maybe you're not that type of person. Some people are, and they're gifted with that, and that's amazing. But maybe that's not you. But guess what? God has blessed you with a church family and resources here at the church to actually be a little bit more welcoming. Like you said, inviting to mission, ministries or Bible studies. Maybe you have an idea for an event or a ministry or a study. The church building is a place that you can host that. You come to the leadership, ask us, give us your little vision for what you want to do, and say, that's how most things start around here. People having an idea and a vision and asking for some permission to say, hey, you know what? I think this would be good for the church, and I would like to be the host. Maybe there's someone that needs to be involved in something here at the church, but they're intimidated to take the first step. Maybe you could just go along with them. Like, okay, I'm not interested in that ministry, or that ministry is not targeted towards me and my age group, but you know what? I'm going to drive them there. I'm going to bring them there. I'm going to say, hey, you know what? You need to be here. I'll go along with you so you don't feel weird for that first time you step in. The idea of this passage is meeting one another's needs and seeking out ways to do that. Being that welcoming, hospitable person is actually a way to do that. How we meet one another's needs also connects back to our Christian testimony. You realize this? So we're supposed to be a light to the unbelievers, but part of the way that we can be a light to them is by the way we treat one another. Look what it says. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. By loving one another, people will know we follow Jesus. You know what? Imagine walking into a group or organization, and actually some of you have probably done this before, and the people are unwelcoming, they're gossiping, they're complaining about each other, they're mean to one another. Are you like, where's the membership, right? No, you're not. You're like, okay, I don't need this in life. I got enough of this. I got a job, I got a family, I got friends, I got neighbors, I got enough issues. I'm not joining an organization that has even more issues than I already have. I'm not signing up for that. So I wouldn't, but most people who are not a fan of being abused wouldn't either, right? But praise the Lord, that's not our church, right? I mean, we have problems. Our church, oh, every church has problems. I mean, it's made up of a bunch of sinners coming together. There's gonna be problems. But what I will say about our church is this. We have a loving, welcoming church. We know we can always do better, but the general sentiment is we're making an effort. And I believe people see that because of the love that you all have for one another. So this year, when you think about your to-do list, your spiritual to-do list, why not add being hospitable? How can I be that welcoming person with that positive attitude that draws other people in so that I can show them who Jesus is? So we're going to move right into communion, and I want to do a couple of things here. The first is obviously a constant reminder. Communion is a constant reminder of what Jesus has done for us. He laid down his life. His body was given up. His blood was shed for our sins, on our behalf. So when he says, do this in remembrance of me, we're remembering that. It's also a time for us to evaluate. You know, maybe even Thanksgiving kind of underlined this for you. Maybe you're not welcoming or hospitable. Maybe, you know, the people that you welcomed in or the people that you went over their house, you just spent more time complaining about the experience than actually finding joy in it. This is something you have to work on. Trust me, I'm sure you can complain all day long about your experiences. But let me ask you this. is it going to change anything? I know you can answer that. And I know you know the answer to that. And I know it might be fun to complain about those things, but the truth is God has better for you. God has better for you. And part of that is being that welcoming, hospitable person. So I want you to evaluate your own life and look, what areas do you really need to apply this? And of course, if there's any other sin that you're struggling with, this is the time to really just look to the Lord and ask Him for help. So I'm going to give you a few moments and then we'll partake together. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and broke it. He said, "This is my body given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup. So this is the cup of my blood shed for you, the cup of the new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Please bow with me as I pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for each person that's here this morning. I'm thankful, Lord, that you called us to be welcoming to other people. I just pray, Lord, that you would just make us those people, not only in our personal lives, in our work lives, in our family lives, in our friends, but also in the church. I just pray, Lord, that we would just create an environment where people really, truly do feel welcome, feel that if they have a need or an issue, that they could be prayed for, that you would just help them to feel that so that they can see who you are and what you've done. I'm thankful for all the opportunities that you've given us to serve you through this church, and I just pray for many more. Just thankful again for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may rise.